says, and some things that we touched just a little bit last week, but I want to talk to you today about 811. You've heard of 911. This is better than 911. This is 811. And I want to start, though, in Matthew chapter 23. So turn to Matthew 23. And let's begin there. I'm going to talk about the tithe a little bit and God's plan, God's financial system and the way He does things financially. You probably want to take some notes and at least write down some scriptures. So you might want to get prepared for that, particularly if you haven't heard this before. I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago I shared 811. So I want to start. You see, as in a pastor of a church, one of the main things that we get to help people with, get to minister to people about, is finances. Whether we may be talking to them about their children or their marriage, usually somewhere in this, marital problems or problems with the children, any kind of problems that we have, will somehow touch finances. It's amazing how financial pressures will affect many, many different things. So we get to minister to a lot of different people concerning finances. And one thing that I find in the Christian community, in the church, with church people, is that their finances are really messed up. Let me give you three things that people whose finances are messed up does in a negative way. First thing that it does is it's a terrible witness. People whose finances are in bad shape, who don't have authority over their finances, their finances is a bondage to them, usually are late paying their bills if they pay their bills. And it's a terrible witness to the community. It's a terrible witness when Christians don't pay their bills on time. Now, it's better to pay them late than not pay them at all, but we need to pay them on time. The second thing that it does is it hinders us from ministering in the kingdom of God like we should. There'll be times that you may be here or go someplace else, and you'll see a real need as it is projected. Maybe like we've just projected a need here that we want to take some funds and fix our building up and make it look pretty. And you will say, well, I would like to give to that, but I really can't because I just don't have the money. I've got to pay this and I've got to pay that. My bills are pressing on me, so I really can't give that. I really would like to, but I really can't. So it hinders the work of the kingdom of God when we allow our bills to overpower us. And then the third thing that I found out that it does is you'll come in constant contact with individuals who are in a benevolent situation. They need help. Maybe their bills are due. Maybe they've gotten injured somehow and they haven't been able to work. Or maybe something's happened and they haven't been able to get the finances that they normally are accustomed to, and their lights are being cut off, or they don't have groceries or whatever. But what you'll do is you'll come into these situations and you're unable to help them. Now this is, if you're able to help them and you do help them, it is a tremendous blessing to you when you bless people in a benevolent way. And we'll look at this in just a second, and you'll see more about what I'm talking about. But these are the three main things that I find that financial bondage do to a Christian. It's a terrible witness. You can't bless the kingdom of God. You can't give into the kingdom of God like you'd like to. And then thirdly of all, you can't help individuals that you would like to. Maybe your family needs help. Maybe other individuals. So when there's a financial bondage, these things happen. And I find this is true in the majority of the Christians. How many believe I've just told you the truth, that it is in the majority of the Christians? Do you believe that? Yeah, it is. It is. Most Christians are under a financial heaviness. We live from week to week. If we don't get that paycheck, then we are in deep trouble. We've got to have that weekly income just so we can keep our heads above water. And I want to talk about this over the next couple of weeks. I want us to look at today real quickly at God's principles of His, just the very basic aspects of His principles, and then take a couple of weeks and look at some principles of giving and some different kinds of principles. Matthew 23, the first principle that we've got to learn is that you ought to tithe. Now, as you come into the charismatic world, you meet a lot of people that say, well, tithing is the Old Testament. Is it? Is tithing Old Testament? It's not, yes, it is. But was tithing before the law? Is tithing after the law? So tithing, yes, it is Old Testament. But it was before Moses. Abraham, the father of our faith, gave tithe to Melchizedek. So anyway, what I'm wanting us to see is that the tithe is established prior to the law. It's not something that's under the law. What it is the way God works it into our heart to establish the importance of the kingdom of God, works it into our heart to establish where things are and where things should be in priority in our life. For where a man's treasure is, there his heart is. So if we are not capable of giving into the kingdom of God, then we're really understanding the principle that Jesus is projecting there is that our heart really isn't in it. We're coming for more of a religion and not a relationship. Do you hear me? You ought to tithe. Matthew 23:23, the scummy old Pharisees. They oozed with the desire to please God, but Jesus says, beware of them. In Matthew 23:23, He is giving here a warning to them. And he's putting a woe on them. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And that's the proper, it's faith, it's not faith, it's faithfulness. It needs to be faithfulness in people. Sometimes we neglect that. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. But these are the things you should have done, but not neglecting the others. In Matthew 23:23, in the King James Version, it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe on the mint, the anise, and the cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. Now, the thing I'm emphasizing is that you ought to tithe. Did Jesus say you ought to do these things? Did the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself say you ought to do these things? Now, there are some other things you need to do as well, which I want to build on a little bit. A lot of times people want to know they're tithing, but all these other crazy things are going on in their lives. Well, understand here that just tithing is not a catch-all. Tithing is not the total answer to all of our problems. For whatsoever a man sows, that too shall he reap. So what we've got to understand here is you ought to tithe. Jesus Christ Himself says you ought to tithe. Jesus didn't say, stop tithing now when I go to the cross, did He? Did Paul say, stop tithing? Did anybody say, stop tithing? So the first principle that we've got to understand is that you ought to tithe. How many know you ought to tithe? Everybody know you ought to tithe? Let's all say that together. I ought to tithe. I ought to tithe. Let's everybody say together, whether you do it or not, let's make it at least a positive confession. I am a tither. I am a tither. Now, this is the very basic and first principle, because if you're not tithing, if you don't understand this, then your finances are always going to be in a mess. You got to understand this. This sets the trend for everything else. This opens the windows of heaven. This removes the curse of the devourer over you. And if you're not going to do this one, then your finances are going to always be in a mess. Now, this is the basic one. I ought to tithe. Principle number one is I ought to tithe. Principle number two, we got to understand that when you tithe, you're not giving it to me. You're not giving it to the church at Lafayette. You're not giving it to Pastor Tebow to pay the bills. You're not giving it. Now, this is what it's used for, but this is not what this is not why you give it. This it's not for me. It's not mine. It's not the church. Whose is it? The tithe is the Lord's, and it's holy. Let's look at that. We'll look at several little passages. Leviticus 27. Now, what I'm trying to project to you is God's financial principles, God's financial plan. First thing you got to understand is you ought to tithe. Jesus Himself says you ought to tithe. Principle number two is the tithe is the Lord's and it's holy. 27 and 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the sea, how much of the tithe? All the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now, what does that mean? It is holy unto the Lord. Folks, a lot of people say, well, I'd pay this bill, but I've got a tithe. A lot of people will say, boy, I wish I didn't have to pay my tithe. If I didn't have to pay my tithes, I could pay my bill. Listen, the mentality that we have got to develop is that it is an honor to pay tithe. It is holy. The tithe is something special. It's holy unto God. And it becomes an honor for us to get to pay tithes. Do you hear me? It's not something that becomes a drudgery. I mean, God's not holy, my God, God's holy. God loves what kind of a giver? It should be an honor and a blessing and a good time. When we give tithes, you should come rejoicing. It is a holy thing you're doing. God is holy. Therefore, what we give Him must be holy. And the tithe that we give Him is holy. And whatever, He says, all that the land produces. Now, understand, these are agriculture people. Agricultural people. They would reap, they raised cattle, they planted wheat, corn, crops, olives, all these things. And they were agricultural in their thinking. So God dealt with them in this. Now, if you can see this in this aspect, you're an agricultural people, and if you can see this, that you're going to the harvest, you're going to the fields every day at your job place or wherever that you go, you're going to the field of harvest, and what you're wanting to harvest isn't the reason you're doing what you're doing, you're laboring, isn't to reap corn or wheat or raise cattle or plant olive trees or mash olives or grapes or these kinds of things. You're going, if you can understand this, cultivating your dollar bushes, okay? And you want to reap a good harvest of dollars. And how many want a good harvest of dollars? See? Can you understand that? So what we're going to have to see this is, as we go to, we want a good crop of dollars. Because that's the way we'll be blessed. This is the way that, this is what we're working for. I'm not working to raise a good crop of tomatoes. Now, I like to have good tomatoes, but that's not what I work for. What I want is some finances so that I can pay my bills, so that I can... I don't pay my bills with tomatoes. What do I pay my bills with? Dollars. Okay? I don't want you coming in here with chickens and cows to give for your tithe. I want you coming here with dollars. Okay? Very simple principle. But understand that you're going out there... Willis, you're going to the telephone company with your hoe to harvest on that big old truck of yours dollars. Right? That's what you're going for. You're fixing telephone wires and you're trying to do a good job of that. But what are you wanting to harvest? Dollars? And that's what all of our produce is. So if we'll understand the principle, we'll understand that all of our dollars, we got a tithe on it. The net or all of it? The gross or the net? Let's go ahead and establish this. All of it or what Uncle Sam doesn't want? All of it or what we don't have to pay on insurance? All of it. He's first. He's holy. Principle number three. Two is the tithe, is the Lord's, and it's holy. It's not mine. It's not Pastor Tebow's. It's not the church at Lafayette's. Understand, it's the Lord's. And you're getting to do a holy thing. Holy. Principle number one was what? I ask you a question. What? You ought to tithe. Principle number two? Belongs to the Lord and it's holy. Principle number three. Understand that there is a 20% interest that God charges us if we do not tithe. If we redeem it for ourselves, then how many believes that God is going to get what's His? Do you really believe that? He's God. I mean, that's why they call Him God, because He's God. And He's going to get what's His. And if you redeem the tithe for yourself, God is going to get it, but He's going to charge you 20%. Now, that's as high as Sears charges on their charge card. There used to nobody charge 20% on interest, except God. Sears is caught up with God. I think it's 20. Sears might be past God. What is Sears... Turk, you're an expert on these. Not that you have credit cards, but you know what they charge. What? 21 point something. I don't need the points. Turk says it's over 20, 21%. So understand that God has always charged high interest when you neglect. Now, you want to see this, so let's just keep reading right here where we're at. And in Leviticus 27, look at verse 31. We just read 30. Where am I at? All the tithe of the land is the seed of the land. The fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Verse 31. If therefore a man wishes to redeem part of his tithe, he shall add to it, how much? One-fifth. How much is one-fifth? 20%. And for every tenth part of the herd or flock or whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. Understand it again. Everything off the top is God's. Now, 20% interest. So what does that mean? Well, I'm going to skip my tithe this week because I'm going to go on vacation. So I'm not going to pay my tithes. Will God get what's His plus what? You better just go ahead and give it. He's going to get it. We need to understand that. There is a penalty for not paying your tithe. Okay? Principle number one is what? You ought to tithe. Principle number two is God and His holies. And principle number three, there's a penalty. There's 20%. Okay, number four. I want you to understand there are three different tithes. Best I understand, there are three separate, distinct tithes that the Bible speaks of. And we're going to go through this, and this is the 811, where I'm coming from in it. Look at Deuteronomy 14, 22. Deuteronomy 14, 22. I did this for you, what was it, about 2 years ago? Something like that. Deuteronomy 14, 22. In 12 and 14, there's a lot written here about the tithe, but in 14, he really breaks it down and spells it out for us better. Now, most of us, at one time or the other, has basically just been told about one tithe. Is one of these, do you know which one of these are mine? Either? Okay. In 14, beginning at 22, first thing that we'll see is the tithe that we've always been instructed about. That 10% of our income is God's. It's to come to the storehouse. It's the Malachi tithe. It comes to the storehouse. The basic principles that it's used for is, number one, to make sure that the ministry is cared for, and number two, to make sure that the provision that He's given us to worship in is cared for. Now, this is what this tithe is for, the first tithe principle. And the first tithe that we bring here and deposit here is the tithe that we've all heard about. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. You've been taught about it. But in 22, verse 22 of Deuteronomy 14, it says, "You shall surely tithe," how much? "All the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year." Now, this is what comes into the storehouse. This is the first time. It comes into the storehouse, and it's used for the ministry. It's used to make sure that the ministry is cared for, and it's used to make sure that the place that God has given to us is taken care of. This is what this is for. This is called the storehouse tithe. It comes to the storehouse. Then, second one, I'm not going to spend time on it, but if you want to look it up, and you can look it up, but if you want to look it up, there's a lot of it written and put into effect in Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 35 through 39. If you want to write that down and look at it later, that's fine. But what's happened here is Nehemiah has reinstituted the ways of God into the people, and they're now bringing the tithe, and it's coming to the storehouse. And they're storing up in the storehouse the tithe to make sure that the ministry is taken care of, that the building is kept up, and that the things of God can go on. Then, the second one. And this is the one that most Christians do not do. And I want you to understand the principle. Paul told us that the Old Testament was written for what? Our examples, our principles, so that we wouldn't make the mistakes that they made. I'm not putting us back under the law with this. I'm trying to project the principles of the Scriptures. This is the one that I find that most Christians do not do. Most Christians, well, Dr. Cash, what was the statistic that 95 of the Christian community does not tithe. Isn't that correct? Now, that's not true here. Okay? It would be the opposite here. Most of us are tithers at this place. So, you're doing the first tithe. But this one here, you're probably not doing. And it's just as much a part of the principles of God as the first one is. The second one. And you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God at the place where He chooses to establish His name. The tithe, who shall eat of it? Who's it for? The first one, you bring in, I eat of it, Steve eats of it, Lance eats of it, Pastor Tebow eats of it, Monty eats of it. So as you bring that first one in, it takes care of the building, pays the bills, and it does those things. So the first one that we bring is that one. The second one is not for any of us. Who's it for? Who eats of it? Look at your Bible. Don't look at me. Who eats of it? The tither eats of it. You eat of it. This is your time. This is for you. This is for me. This is a tithe for myself. It's holy. It's an honor to do it. It's something that God has put into His financial provisions, but most Christians don't do this. And you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God at the place where He chooses to establish His name, the tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, the firstborn of your herd and your flock, in order that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. A principle of tithing, and I'm not going to get into this, I'm just going to project the thought. A principle of tithing is to learn to fear the Lord. If you're not a tither, you really don't fear the Lord. You may fear your bill collectors more than you fear the Lord. And the principle, one of the principles of tithing is to learn to fear the Lord. Now, how does this work? Well, as we work our way through here, you'll see that it's for you to go on at least three times a year to a vacation, to a seminar. It's for you to go and spend on anything that you want to spend it on. And you should be taking it and going to the seminars and these kinds of things to get around the people of God, hear different teachings, different ministries, find out how people worship and praise and how the body of Christ in general loves God. And as you go into these situations, you come out of there with a different mentality and a fear for God, because you see God is real. And you see how God is moving all over the earth, not just here in our little community, but He moves everywhere. And when you start seeing that God is real, you start fearing God. The reason that we don't fear God is because we really don't believe He's real. So that you will fear God, verse 24, and if the distance is so great for you that you are not able to bring the tithe, since the place where the Lord your God chooses to set His name is too far away from you when the Lord your God blesses you, then you shall exchange it for money. Now remember again, these are agricultural people. What you do is you exchange for money every week. You exchange what you're doing for money. You exchange for money and bind the money in your hand and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses. And you may spend the money for whatever God's heart desires. Look, you're looking at me. Some of you are looking at me again. What does your Bible say? You see that? For whatever, whose heart's desire? Whatever your heart desires. King James Bible says, for whatever your heart lusteth after. Am I right? Is that what it says? Whatever thy soul lusteth after. This is for you. This is for me. This one doesn't come here. This one in my life is taken out of my check deposit every week and put into a separate account. And me and Judy and my family take this when we go on vacations or when we go to seminars or whatever, and we use it for whatever we want to use it for. And if I was to ask a show of hands of how many of us function under this principle, few would get to raise your hand. And it's just as much a principle of the tithe as anything else is, as the first one is. It is the principle that we take the money. We can call it a savings account if you want to. But the principle is that God has put in his financial program, into his principles, money for to set aside so that you can go and get away from the same old, same old. Now, I preached the same old last week. I'm not going to go back through that. But most of us live in the same old every week. We get out of the same bed, off that same pillow, brush our teeth with the same old brush, go through the same old shower. I'm not going to, but you know the same old story. And God has set this in here so that we can break the same old, so that we can go and have a ball. And it's at least 10% of my income is to be set aside in my hand. Whose hand does it go in? What does the Bible say? Exchange it for money and put it in whose hand? In your hand. And you go and you spend it on whatever you want to. If I want to give ministry $1,000, if I've done this, I can do it. If I want to bless this place and fix it and give some money towards it, I can do it. If I need to buy something, a refrigerator or whatever, I can do it. I can go on vacations. I can take my family to seminars. And you, verse 26, and you may spend the money on whatever your heart desires, whatever your soul lusteth for. You can get your oxen, your sheep, your wine, your strong drink, whatever you want. And you shall eat it in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. It's fun. Life is fun. Jesus says, I come to give you life and that abundantly. You and your household. Let me get that one. You and your household. You've got to learn. Get your family on vacations. Take your family places. Get away from the same old. Break that spirit that gets on top of us to going through the same old. You've got to learn to do this for your family's sake. Let's take your kids someplace and let them see other kids their age worshiping and dancing and praising God. Take your family someplace and let them see how the rest of the world rejoices or does things. You need to do this for your family's sake. But it has to be programmed into your finances. Don't neglect the Levite. Don't neglect the ministry who's in your town. Your ministry. The ministry God's given you. Don't neglect him because he doesn't have an inheritance. He can't get out there and work. He's got to minister. He's got to try to focus on what God's given him to do. Now, that's the second one. That's the second tithe. The first tithe you know about. The second tithe is the tithe that most Christians don't walk in, and because they don't walk in this one, they live in financial bondages. Third tithe. 28. Same chapter. At the end of the third year, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in that year and shall deposit it in your town. In whose town? In your town. This is for our town. And the Levite, because he has no portion of the inheritance among you, and the alien, this is what I want, the alien and the orphan and the widow who are in your town shall come and eat and be satisfied in order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. A couple of principles here. This is the third type of a tithe. It was taken up every third year. Another tithe would be given every third year so that it would go to the orphan, the stranger, the alien, the people, the widow, the people that were down. It was a special giving. And upon this one is a special, special blessing. Now, I want you to hear me. Tithe number one will open the windows of heaven. Okay? And the opening of windows of heaven is so that you'll see it in just a second. I think. The opening of the windows of heaven is so that you will be guaranteed a place of produce. That there will always be a place that you will be productive at. That you will always have a job. This is basically what the tithe number one, the windows of heaven, and God making sure that the devourer is rebuked. You'll see it in just a second. That's what that's for. Tithe number two is a very personal giving for yourself. Tithe number three is for other people. And upon this one comes a special, special blessing. Look at that last verse there. And it says, if you'll do this one, if you'll do this one, this tithe every third year, or 3.3% of a tithe every week, or however that you're paid, every payday, if you'll do this one, look what he says. In order that the Lord your God may bless you. Do you see that my giving to those people that are down and out gives me a key in to God blessing me? Do you see this in your Bible? That God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. It's a promise of God, and I'm going to show you some more of it in just a second because I want to emphasize this just a little bit. But it's a promise of God that if I will give to the orphan, the alien, the Levi, the widow, or these kinds of people that are really in need, if I will help them some, God will bless me. And you can't do it. You see, you're never able, a lot, I'll say you, and don't misunderstand, I'm talking about the majority of the church world, is unable to do it because they're just barely making it. Just barely keeping their head above the water. They're not able to get this blessing because they're just paying their bills and just paying their tithes. Now, I want to see something here. I want you to see that with this third type of a tithe, that there is a declaration or a specific prayer that we can declare when this is given, when this extra giving is given. I want us to turn to Deuteronomy 26. Just turn over to 26 and 12. Now, every week when we pay our tithes, I'll have two checks. And I give Judy the tithe check. And I take the other check, the giving check. And I hold it up. And as Dr. Cash or whoever is receiving the offering receives the offering, I pray a prayer with that check. And I pray what's right here. In Deuteronomy 26 and 12, when thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase, in what year? What year? So which tithe are we talking about? Number one, number two, or number three? Pardon? Are you learning something here? You got to stay with me now. We're not talking about the tithe that comes here every week. We're not talking about the tithe that you take and give for yourself. This is the third tithe. This is the 3.3% of your every paycheck that comes to you. You take every time you give that. That's the tithe that it's talking about. The benevolence given, the giving to the widower, the alien, the stranger, the guy that's down and out. This is the one. As you give it in the third year, the year of tithing, when you shall give it to the Levi, the stranger, the orphan, the widow, that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. And you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the sacred portion. It's sacred. It's holy. I've removed it from me, God. I've removed it from me, from my house, and also given it to the Levi, the alien, the orphan, and the widow, and according to thy commandments. I'm listening to your word. I'm walking in your statutes. I'm applying your word to me, and I'm obeying you. Everything you've told me to do, I'm trying my very best to do it. I have not transgressed or forgotten any of your commandments. I have not eaten of it. It's not mine. It's yours. I've not eaten of it while I was mourning, or have I removed any of it while I was unclean, or offered any of it to the dead. I have listened to the voice of the Lord my God, and I have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. This is what you say. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the ground which thou hast given us, a land flowing with milk and honey, as thou didst swear to our fathers. There is a very special blessing that comes when you give in a benevolent way. The above the 10% that is given to the storehouse, above the 10% that is given for yourself, what you give in this special way, in this special area of giving, will bring a special blessing upon you. Now, the first tithe opens the windows of heaven. Second tithe is a personal blessing for yourself and for your family. The third tithe is your giving. Now, it is according to how you give that you receive. Am I right? Bible says, Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given. What is my part? To give. Now, is what is given to me, good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over, is what's given to me based on tithe number one, door number one, door number two, or number three. Do you understand that? I'm going to show you in just a second on Malachi thing, because we're going to go through the 8:1:1. But you'll see that in Malachi, what he's rebuking there and he's showing you there is that you will always have a crop. You will always be a place for you to go and get your dollar bushes. Tithe number two is a special blessing for my life. I take it, me and my family go. But the third one, the one that's above and beyond it, that does not concern my church, that does not, the one that goes out, the one that I'm able to give beyond that, this time, he says, this time is a special giving. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You can declare it. He's promised it. Give, and it shall be given. It's according to what a man sows, that too shall he reap. If I'm not planting, if I'm not sowing, am I going to be reaping? We've got to understand that the principles of God is giving above what we're expecting. It's the giving. The more seed you sow, the more crop you get. There's a principle here that I'm wanting to just touch, and I'll emphasize it later. But this particular tithing has a special, special blessing that is attached to it. Now, those are the principles that I just want to project to you. The third type of tithing is the benevolence tithe that we give every 3 years, or what we should be doing is actually tithing 26.7% of our income. Does that work out right? No, well, I did that. We're tithing 23.3%. Right. Okay, I was going the wrong way. 23.3% of our income is really how God's financial programs work. Now, but 10% of that is yours to do whatever you want to do with it. 3% is your benevolent giving that has a special, special sowing and reaping principle with it. And then 10% goes to the ministry. Now, principle number one was what? You ought to tithe. Number two, it's God's and it's holy. Number three, what? Do you all realize you're slow on that one? Do you realize God is going to get his? A lot of people have bags with holes in it. Car breaks down. I'm not saying because your car broke down now you're not tithing. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm wondering sometimes if we couldn't avoid a lot of problems if we just tithe. Principle number four. How long we've had that refrigerator? When do we get that refrigerator? Now, it'll probably tear up next week. But I'm going to give you this principle that I believe it works. We bought the house and built the first house in 72, 71. How old does that make it? 71, 81, 81. 22 years. Same refrigerator. And I'm just saying that I really believe that a lot of the things I believe that things work a lot of times because we were... Hey, goodness gracious, folks, I mean, think about it. This is the same principle. They walked around in the desert for 30 years wearing the same clothes and the same pairs of shoes. Why shouldn't my refrigerator last 30 years? Our TV. TV. Got an old field coat on it. They want it to die, so we'll get a new one with a remote on it. Mine's got the buttons, you know. We got it in the same year. It's the same age. 22, 23 years old. It's older. I just believe this. I just believe because you know, you try to put on righteousness that God blesses you. Now, you know, they may both go out next week. But I'm just trying to project a principle to you that I believe. I believe the Word of God. Do you? Okay. Did we get all of them? Number one is what? Ought to tithe. Two, holy. Three, penalty, four, three tithes. If you'll understand those, you'll be on your way to understanding God's principles. Now, let me go through 8:1:1 with you real quickly, and we'll quit. I want to start off by telling you this works. This really does work. I've lived like this, in this manner of thinking, since around 72 or so. Well, it's about 78, wasn't it, Judy? That God revealed himself to us. And around 78, we began to establish and build these principles into our life. And I'm here to tell you, this works. What I'm trying to share with you today is not some theory. This is the way I live. this works. The 811 means that your personal bill should never exceed 80% of your income. It's got to be, that particular one's got to be net. Because what you've got coming in, your net income, if you're exceeding 80%, then you're really in trouble. You'll never be able to really tithe or be able to give away money or sow money and get the blessings of giving away money so that you can reap money. You can't do it because you're always having to pay bills. So if your income is, your personal bills is over 80% of your net income, then you're in financial bondage. And you really got to work on that. Now, I don't mean you stop tithing until you get this straightened out. You just start working on this. You may have to have some financial counseling. You may have to do some reconsolidation? Consolidation. You may have to do some things like this to get it so that you can handle it. But over this, I don't know, if this is your situation, folks, I'm just trying to show you're in financial bondage and you're never going to be able to move into God's personal plan for you. Then, 811 means your gross income is God's. And it's holy. Now, is God more important than the United States government? So who should get the first part? God or the government? Do you want all of it blessed or what does he leave us now? 60%? 70%? Do you want it all blessed or do you want 60% of it blessed? So you know, it's all for the gross. God's more important than insurance. He's more important than my savings that they take out of my check. He's more important. So God should come off the top. He's first fruits. That's why I call it first fruits. Before Uncle Sam gets his fruits. Before the insurance company get their fruits. He's first fruits. That's what this means. He's given, and this is out of the Malachi principle, and I'm just get it here because I knew we were getting low on time and I needed to run through this. Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? Now, you answer that. I'm asking you, will people rob God? Now, you need to ask yourself, am I robbing God? Well, how do you rob God? By your tithe and your offerings. The tithe is what we're talking about that comes into the storehouse, and your offerings is the above, the 3.3% that we're talking about, the third year tithe. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? Now, hear me, and please don't hear me hard. Just hear me that I'm reading from the Scriptures. If you're not tithing, if you're robbing God, you're not robbing the church at Lafayette, you're not robbing me, you're not robbing it, you're robbing God. Therefore, you are cursed with a curse. Now, I didn't say that. God said that. And you're cursed with a curse if you're not walking in these principles and this concept. You've got to understand. For you've robbed me, even the whole nation. This is a total principle. God will bless our nation if we'll just start tithing again. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Storehouse tithe. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now wherewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. Now what is opening the windows of heaven determined by? What is the key? The tithe. You've got to understand. If he opens the windows of heaven when we tithe, what is the insinuation here? If I'm not tithing, the windows are closed. I'll open the windows of heaven for you, and I'll pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall thy vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, the rebuking of the devourer, the blessings of God is simply that he says what you'll always have is production. He's not saying that if you'll tithe, it's going to fix everything in your life. Please hear this. Just because you tithe is not going to fix your marriage. Just because you tithe is not going to fix your kids. Just because you tithe is not going to fix your boss. what it does promise you, he says, is I'll always give you harvest. I'll always give you a place to go and have fruitfulness and to be productive. Is that what he says? You will always have a harvest place. I'll always make sure, if you're tithing, I'll always make sure that there is a place you can go and have your money bush. That's the promise. I'm going to use Willis as an example. Can I do that, Willis? 8 years ago, I came to town. Ministered at the denominational church that I was in at that time, serving in. Willis was a tipper, not a tither. Am I right? Began to project these principles. Willis began to tithe. At that time, Willis was making, how much were you making an hour? Can we do this? Okay. How much? $9.55 an hour. Now, how many? That's pretty slick, isn't it? That's not bad money. $9.55 an hour. He's tithed. He's one of the most consistent, regular tithers that we have at the Church of Lafayette. I mean, if he makes any, he's always tithing. He's giving. He's a tither. What do you make now an hour? How much? $15.98. $16 an hour. That's pretty good. And what do you attribute it to? Not what I'm attributing it to. What do you attribute it to? Tithing. Has God always given you more and more place to go and get more money? Now, Willis's problem, if Willis has a problem, is that he's got too many places to go and get money. He's got too many places to go and work. Has God given you the place to go and to reap a harvest? That's the promise right here. It's not that it's a fix-all, folks. Understand the principle. Right. Willis, if it was a fix-all, if I told you, tithing it fixed everything in your life, would you be tithing now? If I told you that if you tithed it would fix everything in your life, would you believe me? You've had the experience on tithing. Has it fixed everything in your life? No. It's not going to do it. Because there's a principle of whatever a man sows, that too shall he reap. You understand? So that's the promise of Malachi. Understand that if we are not tithing, we're robbing God. Understand that if we are not tithing, we are living under a curse. Understand that if the tithe is to come to the storehouse, not to some faraway ministry, not the tithe. Now you can send the offerings there. Dr. Cash tells us this. You can send ministry and you should send ministry's money, but not your tithe. Understand that if we tithe, God will open the windows of heaven, and understand that if we tithe, God will rebuke the devourer. Now, that's the first one. Second one, 811 means that included into your financial plan must be at least 10% of your tithe set aside for you. This is to minister to you and to your family. This is to finance your vacations. This is to be used to take you, to give you relief from the same old, this that we read in Deuteronomy. This is what this one's for. It's for you, people. It is for me. I do this. And then, the last one, 811, must also include in the giving the needs of people. This giving brings the very special blessing. It is from this giving that we give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The tithe opens the blessing so that you'll always have a place to work. It's your extra giving that will determine what's given back to you. Done. Tell your story. 1978, God made himself real to me and Judy. He unveiled himself. He came into us in a very special way. At this point in our lives, we were over our heads. I owed more money than we both were working, than I owed more money than we could both make. We didn't have money for nothing. Now we'd spend it, and get behind on the bill so we could go have a good time. Anybody relate to that? So we would do it, but we didn't have it to do with. This was then in 1978. God revealed Himself to us. We got into a good Bible-believing church, and God began to deal with me about my finances. I was a bad witness. I was paying my bills, but sometimes I was late. So He began to deal with me. So I began to pray about it, and me and Judy began to pray about it. We wrote it in a book, in our prayer book. We wrote it down that we wanted to be financially free. Not just where we could swim. We wanted to be on the dry land. We wanted out of any kind of financial bondage. We wanted free. This was around 1980, 81 that God began to really deal with me like this. We wrote it in a book and prayed, laid our hands on it together as a husband and a wife, and we agreed together in prayer. We anointed it with oil. We were heavy into Kenneth Copeland. We were doing it. We were confessing it. We were out of debt. We did it. And we started walking in that, and we started believing it. And God began to show us some things. If I had been in the natural, there was absolutely no way, no way in the world I could have gotten myself out of financial debt. Couldn't done it. God began to show us some things. We had built a house in 1972. This was now about 10 years later or so, around eight years later. Built a house for $21,000. It was 1,300 square feet. Nice house, nice brick house. Pretty thing. And God began to show us that if we were to sell this house and get the equity, then we would have enough to just about or maybe build another house to be debt-free. So we put it on the market. The thing sold. We took that money, built another house, nearly totally complete. The things I didn't complete wasn't because the money wasn't there. It's just because I got lazy and I didn't want to work on that house anymore. I just quit working on it. But we built another house. I paid off all my bills. I was totally debt-free. And how long did it take? 1 year. And I was barely making my bill payments. Well, I mean, we were barely making it. She was working and I was working and I was working overtime and we were doing all kinds of things. You set your mind to God and you put these principles in there, it works. Now, right now, I make $450 a week. Now, I'm not going to get all that. That's what's given to me every week, $450. Out of this, I take $50 is taken out of my checking account and put into the savings account every week. So I'm going to use $500 as the stat. What does this mean for you? You make $500 a week. This is your home church. This is where God has showed you to come and worship Him. This is the place He's planted you and called you. Then $50 of that is to come here. This is the storehouse. $50 of that is to go personally and put away for you for at least 4 months. Now, if you use it all the time, you're not getting anywhere. It's got to accumulate. He says, I want you to go. Why do I say 4 months? He says, because I want you to go to a feast 3 times a year. You divide that up, you'll come up with 4 months. If you work that out, you can figure it out. I did it this morning. If you put $50 back, for 4 months, you'll have over $800. How many know you can have a pretty good vacation for $800? That's the principle. You go to seminars. You can give money to ministries. You can bless the place you worship. You can have money to give to people that need help. Folks, this works. This works. You're looking at somebody that lives it. And we put this into our lives. This is the way that we move into it. Now I'm able to do more because of this. My bills are even less now, you know, I want you to understand God blesses you. God blesses you when you move in His precepts and concepts and program. How many seen something today that maybe God's spoken to you a little bit about in your heart? Seen something today in the Scriptures that maybe has helped you? Would you raise your hand if you have? Okay, that's most of us. That's good. Amen. Amen. God wants His people blessed. He wants us prosperous. There's a Scripture in Deuteronomy, I think it's 8:10. God says, I give you power to make wealth. In the covenant that we live in, Jesus Christ came to give us abundance, not financial bondage. He came so that we can have life, that we can enjoy it. Life is to be fun. We've got to move in this, folks. I want to see you free. You ought to tithe. It's holy. There's a penalty if you don't. There's three types of tithes. And one more. Was there one more? Four of them. If you move in this, folks, I promise you, God will bless you. Now, what I want to do over the next several weeks is just kind of look at some principles of giving, some principles in God's financial plan, and show you how to do it. What I want you to do today is many of you give your tithe, and many of you also add an offering or whatever. I really do wish that maybe you could do, I know you maybe write an extra check or something like that, but I really do wish that just for your thinking, just for your mentalities, that you would separate that. And that you would have two, and that you could maybe do what I do, give my spouse the tithe, and I take this and I lift this one up as the offering's being blessed, because this is the one God says He'll bless. This one will always provide me with a place to be productive. This one determines the blessings. This is my sowing, and this one is determining how I am blessed. My other's taken care of, and it's put away for me. Whenever we get ready to go somewhere or do something, we take it. That's what it's for. I want to do this today. Now, if you've got one check already written, then fine. Now we're going to receive the offering. This is the time we're going to receive the offering. You take it right now, or if you haven't written your check yet, or whatever that you do, then go ahead. Now's the time. Take it out. You're going to give cash? Great. We're going to lift it up. Those of you that don't have to give, or it's not your week to give, or whatever, I don't know, we get paid 2 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever. Take a piece of paper and just proxy. Join with us. Because we want to lift it and we want to declare the blessings of God. Amen. Father, this is your principles. Father, this is your program. You have